Hey guys, what's going on? It's me, William the Opinion Updike. I'm joined as I am every Monday through Friday by
Positive Chuck Mockler.
And we are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network, in case you didn't know. We come at you Monday through Friday, 5 days a week with fresh Clippers content. Thanks for checking us out. If you're new to the pod, thanks for coming in. If you've been listening, watching, whatever, and we're glad that you're fans.
We appreciate it.
So we got a heck of a show lined up for you today. We're going to start off with a little recap of tonight, of last night's win against the Pelicans.
We eked it out, but we got it.
Such a great game. We were live at Tom's Urban. Wonderful time.
That was a great time. Shout out to Tom's Urban LA Live. We're going to try and do a couple more episodes there.
Yeah, absolutely. It's Tuesday, which means our Twitter Tuesday segment. So we're going to be getting into a little bit of some trade scenarios.
Yeah,
and some cool stuff that you guys, some fans, sent in via Twitter.
Shout out Clipper
Feel
Nation.
Feel free at any point during this live cast, if you're watching this on Twitter, to get at us with any questions, anything you'd like to address from either last night's game, anything coming up on Twitter. And then we're going to wrap up the podcast with just some kind of general NBA stuff. You know, we got to talk about it. It's not as good as Clippers specifics, but, you know, it's good.
Before we get into it, we want to give a big shout out to our advertising partner, Metro Infinity, just off the 210 East, just off the 210 of Monrovia, 821 East Central Avenue.
Very Monrovially located.
Oh, yeah. They are the only dealer in California that is family owned and has been for 25 years.
That's pretty crazy.
Fairly terrifying. I can't imagine having a business with my family. If you don't like going to the dealership, they do this tight thing where they will just come to you with the car and the paperwork.
Such a, like, the weirdest flex you could ever do on your coworkers. Like, oh, sorry, my new car is here. Let me just sign this very official paperwork.
I got this. If you mention Locked On, they'll give you another $500 off your purchase. Come through. Give them a chance to earn your business. You can reach them at 626-599-7510 or metroinfinity.com. Check it out. So let's recap this fat dub that we got.
Yeah, you want to rattle off some quick stats?
Yeah, so it wasn't the prettiest for those of you who watched the game. We had some tendencies we tend to do that are bad that popped up, but we got the W.
Definitely.
Quick stats for you guys. 27 for Tobias, which is fantastic. 24 for Gallo. 20 for Lou. We held Anthony Davis to just 23 and 14.
I feel like that's pretty solid.
That's a victory.
Like, yeah.
Those points, I mean, anytime he puts up less than 30, it's
good. I wonder what those numbers would look like, though, without Randall in the starting lineup.
Yeah.
Because, like, when those two share the floor, I mean, obviously, Anthony Davis can space the floor. I mean, well, hell, Randall was spacing the hell out of the floor last night.
So good.
But, yeah, normally there's like a little bit of overlap, I would guess, between those guys.
Yeah. Jrue Holiday had 32 points and 14 assists, which we watched this game. I didn't realize he was going that insane.
Yeah, I had to rewatch the highlights. Like, he was unstoppable.
Good.
He had like the drive and kick just kind of buried us. Like, he was unstoppable, getting into the lane, finding an open man. Wow. I actually have a little bit of a comp for Jrue Holiday that I'd like to talk about later in this segment. But
And then Julius Randle led everyone, set a career with 37. He was killing it. Most important part of the game was probably the third quarter. We played poorly in the third quarter. We actually lost the whole second half, which was not good. In the fourth, Pelicans take the lead with 5 minutes left. We take it back with 2.5 minutes left. It's pretty much just a two-point game from there on. Lou, of course, falling to his left, hits a two-pointer to put us up. With 4 seconds left to put us up by four, Wes Johnson then fouls Tobias with 4 seconds left. He hits those free throws, each one more, has a chance to tie it, but clangs it with the three.
So I wondered about this. Do you think that Doc gave specific orders to not foul the three-point shooter?
I think he had to have, just because, I mean, they saw what happened when Gallo got fouled in that one game.
Yeah.
And against Memphis.
Yeah.
So I think he probably did.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering. I guess in my head, I was just thinking, because obviously they weren't going for the... They had the opportunity to foul the shooter, didn't do it.
Yeah.
So I guess in my head, I was just wondering if Doc was mentally prepared for the overtime.
Hmm. I like that. I think he maybe was. I also think maybe
each one more was 0 of 3 from 3 at that point.
I think
it's like a little bit less of a threat, definitely.
I think that's what goes into it, is because it's like, oh, if we don't foul this guy, that means they don't respect me as a shooter.
Yeah.
Like, if you're that shooter, you're like, why aren't they fouling me? They're just going to let me take the shot. And it's like, yeah, you're bad.
I mean, he's having some streaky shooting woes.
But yeah, it almost went to OT. You asked this question. Do you think we are prepared for OT?
Yes, I actually do think that in OT we would have been, I mean, we would have been a little fresher. Interesting note about this game, the Pels ran out an 8-man rotation.
That kind of blows my mind.
Which is astonishing to me for a regular season game.
Yeah, why do
when,
that?
When only one, like all their DNPs were coaches' decisions with the exception of Mirotić, who has some sort of illness.
Why did you say that's Wakanda? he's a faker.
But whereas like Clippers in classic Clippers fashion, much more balanced. We rolled out 10 guys that all played more than 20 minutes.
Yeah, our bench, I mean, we ate them up. We outscored their bench. This was also because Randall was playing in their starting lineup, which really helped us out.
Yeah.
We outscored their bench 52-21.
Yeah.
Which really in a three-point game, fantastic.
Yeah, those numbers are similar to the last time we played the Pels. They obviously are kind of paper thin, especially compared to us.
Kind of surprisingly, we actually won the rebounding battle.
Yeah, there wasn't a whole lot of boards, though. Are you surprised at this number? The final number was 39-36
yeah,
in terms of total rebounds.
That's almost like assist numbers for some teams this year.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was such a high-scoring game, so I think that definitely played into it. For those of you who didn't get a chance to watch, it was like 70.
At half, I thought it was going to be like 150-148 by the end of it. Everything kind of got sloppy in the second half, which is why I think we lost the second half. Gortat was our leading rebounder with 7, right?
Yes, he was, which makes me wonder, like, good for Gortat or bad for the Clippers?
A little of both? I mean, it's good to see from Gortat.
Yeah, definitely. Like, it's good to know that he still has, like, that level of play.
But it's also would have been nice. I mean, we won, so it's hard to say, you know, would have been nice, whatever. It would have been nice to see Trez maybe a little more active on the boards.
Yeah.
Because we just needed him against AD.
I just think that with the size differential, that's not a good lineup. That's not a good matchup for Trez.
That's
fair. Obviously, like, a small ball thing. He's, like, a small ball
guy.
Yeah. I mean, he's great against those kind of teams, against more traditional kind of guys.
Not so much. It was, I mean, shocking we didn't see Boban in this game.
Yeah, yeah, he was a DNP.
Like, just give, I just don't understand some of these rotations. We need boards. We only grabbed 39 in this game.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a lot. We've talked about Motley. We're not going to talk about him, but it was just kind of frustrating. You know, we get the win. Like I said, it's hard to be too mad about some stuff, but there's just some tendencies that it would be nice to see stopped.
Yeah, definitely.
Or altered, I should say.
Yeah. The turnovers would have been better.
Ty Wallace, you got to talk about him.
Yeah, so Ty Wallace was a great highlight. 11 minutes of play.
Dude.
Contributed, what, like 8?
4 of 6.
4 of 6 shooting.
In 11 minutes. Someone pointed out on Twitter, he hadn't played since November 20th.
Mind-boggling.
And he comes out and just, I mean, he really was kind of the juice for the team, I thought.
I agree.
He picked us up when we were playing pretty sloppy.
Also, does he rock the headband ever since that collision?
Oh, man. I hope he does. He should rock like a big headband, like a half headband, but like goes
gives
over
gives a
your
little extra padding.
Yeah. Like the things that like soccer players wear when they have terrible neck injuries and then keep playing.
Yeah.
Tobias went 10 for 16 with 27 points. Weirdly, a quiet 27.
I agree. He was just like efficient the whole time.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like just classic kind of Tobias machine.
Go ahead.
We've been talking about this a little bit, but you know, a lot of mid-range game, and I think that there were some pretty easy opportunities for him where he could have utilized a driving lane, or just, you know, gone for a three.
The Tobio cushion was in very much full effect. We got 51 points out of Tobio.
Yeah, great.
3-point win. You know, wish it was by a little more points, but what are we going to do? Avery Bradley these past few games has just shut me up.
Yeah.
And it's been great.
Yeah, he's been really, really solid.
He had 15 last night, played some pretty good defense. I mean, better than average, obviously, because it's Avery Bradley. But it's been awesome to see just him turning his defensive prowess into, I guess, a pretty efficient offensive game when it's hitting.
Yeah, definitely. He scored the first points of the game for the Clippers.
I know, which I was always take as like a bad sign. I was like, oh, it's one of those games.
But really solid throughout. I guess something that kind of came to light a little bit last night was that this is current Clipper squad as constructed is not what I would call a fast team.
No. Nah, yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, so we kind of got killed on the fast break last night. I believe that the final number was 5 to the Pelicans 19.
Damn.
And it was pretty apparent. Like, anytime they were in transition or they had got a board or a turnover, They were quick. Their communication is a lot better on the fast break than ours.
Yes, which is going to get figured out. I think we talked with our comedic friend John Kupperman on Twitter about this.
Cooperman,
excuse me.
Shout out to John Kupperman.
Shout out. This team does, you know, we usually have one terrible quarter, but it seems like we kind of spaced it out between three quarters.
Yeah,
which
is
fine.
Which is what you want. I mean, I'd much rather have that.
And he mentioned that he gets bummed that we let these leads slip away because we tend to do that. And I think part of that is just they're still so new together. They're learning how to win together, learning how to close games out still. It sucks.
I don't think against a team like the Pelicans, it's necessarily letting a lead slip away.
Yeah.
I think you're just playing a really good team and you've been able to exploit their weaknesses to a certain point.
For sure.
But, you know, like they are still a solid team. I mean, they're just... they're what, just under 500 right now?
Yeah, which is shocking. They're so good.
Yeah.
Do you want to get into your Shea question?
Yeah. So I guess the comp I talked about earlier in the episode is, do you think that Shea could develop into a Drew Holiday-esque point guard? Someone who can score.
Yeah.
Generally a little streaky.
For sure.
Great defensively.
I think he could. I think he, like you mentioned this, I think on the last episode or maybe on Friday, we want to see Shea distribute a little bit more.
Yeah.
Which would be nice. So I think as he grows, I think he could be Drew Holiday maybe with a better mid-range game.
Yeah,
just because his release is so high and stuff like that. And his length is really
an issue. He does have a lot more. He could have a lot more size.
Yeah. I think he could. Absolutely. I think he could be maybe a little bit better offensively.
Oh, I agree. I'm just saying that like...
I kind of wish we had a guy like him to learn from on the team.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like Milos is great, but they're not... that kind of point guard. Like
I was thinking
that.
About this earlier today, though. There's so many like kind of crafty veterans on this team. There's like little pieces from almost every player's game on this roster,
yeah,
that he could learn little things from. You know, like his I keep bringing up his need to add like some more fakes and like direction changes and stuff like that. I mean, he could learn that kind of like around the rim finishing from Lou, kind of more of a post-esque game from like a Tobias or Gallo.
Or Trez. Get those baby hooks going.
Yeah, definitely. There's like a wealth of knowledge because of like this assembly of parts that I think is... And this is based wholly on nothing, just me thinking at my desk today. That they're like, because there's no superstar, I feel like all the... information or knowledge they have to pass on is like a little bit more accessible.
Yeah, I like that. There's no real egos. They're just like, hey, I'm going to teach you this.
Yeah, or like instead of being intimidated by a player who's so good at everything, you see a player who's like pretty good, but they have like a couple exceptional skills.
Bit.
And you're like, oh, if I can do that like him.
Smash cut to Shea just trying to do underhand full court passes like Milos.
Oh, yeah.
Just tossing them away.
That was his only turnover, was a bad pass.
Yeah, and it was
behind the back bounce, which was not good. Not
a good. Couple more notes real quick. Do you think we win this game if Mirotić plays? I know there's what ifs, and those are kind of stupid, but what do you think?
I think this game is still winnable even with Mirotić in this game. The game looks different. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, Julius Randle doesn't go for 37.
Yeah,
for sure.
They look different. So yeah, I think if that scoring would maybe even out a little bit, maybe our bench wouldn't have crushed quite as hard as it did.
Yeah.
But
that's offset too, because Julius Randle wouldn't have the chance to absolutely destroy us.
Yeah.
He's so good.
Yeah. Julius Randle really,
I can't believe the Lakers anymore.
What is he, 2 years? I think he's 2 years for 12.
Something like that.
Six a year. Maybe it's like six a year.
Yeah, it's something absurd. Any more thoughts? Kind of some frustrating stuff. I mean, we did let the lead slip, which was tough, but you know, we're playing away. That's going to be hard.
Yeah.
Not the hardest place to play because no one was there. I feel bad for those Pelicans fans Pelicans players, excuse me. No one's at those games. You have maybe, I mean, a future MVP on your team. Go watch Anthony Davis play.
Yeah, it's a football city.
It made me feel good about, we were kind of bagging on the Clippers, but our home support will always be better than the Pelicans.
Yeah, so we'll always have that.
Coming up, we're going to be getting into some Clippers Twitter, maybe some questions if people are throwing them at us right now. But first, I was just in Seattle. Before that, I was in Denver. It was very cold. Mm-hmm. I was unprepared.
As you will be living in
LA. As I will be living in Los Angeles. If you're traveling out of sunny LA this holiday season and need some winter apparel, check out Action Heat. They have a special deal for our listeners, 20% off your entire order. Just go to actionheat.com/lockedon to check out everything they have to offer. They got coats, They got shirts. They got warm socks.
Yeah, and it's all got like this really interesting, like active heating. It's a bunch of it is like powered by a battery. It's like legit stuff.
It's real
like,
stuff.
It's like putting a furnace in your clothes.
It's like NASA.
But you won't get burnt.
Yeah, check them out. 20% off. Coupon code locked on at checkout or actionheat.com/lockedon. So now we can get into some Twitter Tuesdays.
Yeah, what do you got for us today?
So this one, I guess this is kind of Reddit Tuesday. This is from the post-game thread. I try and not go on Reddit too much. From Reddit user JimNoob2K15, just talking about...
Great name.
Just talking about the Clippers as a team identity. And this actually really stuck out to me. He said, I'm from Oakland, and I just figured out who the Clippers remind me of. The Oakland A's.
It's a really interesting comp.
Going with the no weak link strategy, no superstar on the team, but a group of above average to very good players up and down the lineup. A group of journeyman veterans, some of whom are very good, but were undervalued due to injury history or underperformance or what have you, and young prospects acquired either through trading off veterans or homegrown, all coming together to create a playoff team who no one saw coming before the season started. Both second-class citizens in their own city, too. Man, the list goes on and on. I feel a kindred bond with this Clippers team. That guy nailed it.
Yeah.
Whoever you are, you're probably not watching, but that is, I would say, the best comparison I've seen of this team.
Yeah, and I think that, like, top to bottom strength, it's interesting to me because I feel like, and granted, we are only 20-some games into the season
we're,
this far.
You know, we're a quarter of the way through it.
But it almost feels to me like 2018 to 19 is the year, like, the myth of the superstar broke.
Ooh, like, I like where your head's at.
We're seeing all these teams that were in the Western Conference, like, finals, and I mean, one team specifically, and, like, in the running last year with these, like, huge top-end talent kind of guys, but they can't keep a bench together.
Yeah.
They can't keep solid role players together.
Or even you're the Pelicans, and you're running an 8-man rotation in the regular season.
In the regular season, you're running some sort of playoff rotation, and some of the guys on that 8-man rotation, quite frankly, aren't that good.
Yeah, it is it's cool to kind of break that, and I'm happy the Clippers are doing it specifically because of the cap room situation after this.
Yeah.
It also weirdly calms me if we don't end up getting a Durant or an AD or a Kawhi, that it's not all is lost.
I agree. I don't think all is lost. It definitely affects our ceiling if we're unable to retain a larger free agent this year.
Yeah. I think we'll get somebody. That's for another segment. But I really like that comparison. Shout out to the Oakland A's. Our friend Clayton lives in Oakland. He goes to like every game for like, I don't know, they pay you to go to Oakland A's games. So apparently Trevor Ariza is available.
Yeah. It makes sense. The Suns are, they've won what, 4 games or something?
Maybe 5. I don't know. Less than 2 hands worth. He had an idea. Clippers Twitter user Clips12_13. Man, put your name in there or something. Clips has 2 P's, by the way, if you want to give him a follow. Milos Gortat and a second for Trevor Ariza, and we call up Jonathan Motley. What do you think of that?
I'm doing that deal all day.
All day?
I think that Trevor Ariza as an addition to that second unit.
For sure.
Especially, I mean, at this point, does Luke Mbamute still play basketball?
Dude, that bums me out. He's out again for the game tomorrow.
Yeah. But I think that you slot Ariza in there. Great guy. I mean, like, great.
Yeah. Losing something on defense, but it's better than nothing, which is what we've gotten from Luke Mbamute. This is no disrespect to Luke Mbamute. He's hurt.
No, when he played, I thought that he was really great and impactful. But, you know, we don't know what his timeline is going to be like to be back. And it seems like this injury has been lingering since the beginning of the postseason last year.
Yeah. And the salaries kind of match up. Milos and Gortat combined for about like 17 or something like that.
Okay.
So I guess they would be eating a little bit of money, but they need a point guard. I don't really want Gortat, so I hope they just take Gortat. a second rounder, that's not too bad. I hope it's maybe not next year's second rounder.
Yeah.
It's maybe in 2 years or something like that.
Gortat and Ayton could also share the floor together.
Oh, you run Ayton at the 4.
Yeah. Ooh. But he still plays like a center, you know? You still have him crashing the glass and stuff.
Yeah, because Gortat's not doing it.
But you have Gortat to set screens and be Gortat.
Have tattoos of hammers. And then that also gives us a wonderful opportunity to bring up Jonathan Motley. We were saying it last night. Free Motley.
This is not going to be the last time we talk about this on the pod.
No, not at all.
I feel like this is becoming an almost daily segment. Yeah. Where in the world is Jonathan Motley?
But I really liked that trade idea. It would be interesting. It'd be cool to see Ariza. He'd have even less responsibility on the Clippers than he does on the Suns, which I'm not really sure what his responsibility is if they're just trying to lose games.
Yeah, I think that was a miscalculation as to how fast this team would be able to come along.
That's a good call. It was like you gave all these old guys a lot of money.
Yeah, I just think that they thought they were going to be better than they were coming into the season, and now it's like blatantly unapparent, so it's like,
oh, we're bad.
Let's get a top three pick.
Yeah, for sure. And $15 million for 1 year, if we're going to make some noise in the playoffs, why not?
Yeah.
We got the money. I agree. We have it. You got anything you want to talk about Clippers Twitter-wise? I will say I was checking out the Clippers Facebook, which... Don't go to the Clippers Facebook.
Just don't do it.
There was a bunch of posts about how Tobias was player of the month, which is dope. I think there was maybe one post about Doc Rivers being Western Conference coach of the month.
I think that is a shame.
Why are people, if you're watching, which literally no one is right now, but you'll see this later, send us your thoughts about what you think, how Doc is doing. I
think he's doing great. I think that he was a dark horse candidate for coach of the year last year.
I think he's... Maybe not even a dark horse candidate for Coach of the Year this year. He's one of the front runners.
This year, yeah. At this quarter season point, Doc Rivers has definitely got to be in at least the top three running for Coach of the Year.
He's crafted, I don't know. It's just amazing to watch. Like,
absolutely.
But there was no mention of it. And I just don't understand. This is one of our best starts in franchise history.
Yeah.
Like, just straight up, it is.
Yeah.
Why be mad at him?
No.
We know he didn't like being GM or was very good at being president of basketball operations.
I think that it was like, it sounded like a sweet deal when he was coming from Boston.
Which it's like, I can't blame him.
No. Like on paper, that sounds great. I just don't think that you really truly realize how much goes into front office work.
And he said that. He also hired Lawrence Frank.
Yeah.
He's the one who hired him. So it's like, we can't be that mad at him. He made that really big hire, which might be the most important thing he did as president of basketball operations.
Definitely.
That was a huge thing to do.
Definitely.
That kind of wraps it up for Twitter Tuesdays. We're going to be streaming more of these episodes because it's very easy to do.
Yeah, let us know what you think. Maybe we'll keep doing it. Maybe we'll get a little set together. Who knows?
Yeah, it is the middle of the day, so I understand if people aren't watching. Shoot us your questions if you are. Coming up after this, a fairly quick NBA wrap-up.
So, Nuggets.
Are you a believer yet, dude?
They did beat the Raptors last night, 106-103. I'm still on the fence about the Nuggets. And here's
they're in first.
Here's what I mean when I say that. I'm not saying that the Nuggets are not good. I'm not saying that the Nuggets are not a playoff team. I'm saying that they're not a top of the Western Conference team. That's all that I'm saying.
All right. What seed are they?
I don't think that this Nuggets team is better than our team.
I agree with that. But we are, you know, the best team in the West. So.
Yeah. They just get a lot more. I just feel like they get a lot more publicity and a lot more play. And granted, they do have, you know,
some exciting
all-star level dudes. I'm not saying that they're not for real, but I think that they are a 5 seed.
Wow. I think they're maybe a 3. 5 is a little disrespectful. I would hate. Because if they're a 5 seed, we're probably going to be around them too, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think they and us are both, we're nipping at the heels of that 4-5 spot.
Yeah. Jokic had 23, 11, and 15 assists. He is so good at passing out of the center position.
Yeah, it's really, really solid. I'm just curious, like, how does this team work when you have an actual point guard in there?
Oh,
because Murray is really more of just a get buckets guy. You know, he's not like a huge playmaker. Yeah. I'm not saying anything original here. Other, you know, NBA people have commented on this, but like I'm curious to see, like, do Jokic's numbers drop or is he able to sustain that as well as having an elite point guard? Because now with that setup, now you're talking about a dangerous team.
Yeah, and I think maybe
when Jokic is the primary like playmaker for your team, I mean, it's great that he's so solid from the post. That is not going to sustain in
the
playoff series.
Yeah, it's not consistent at all. Jamal Murray, like we just mentioned, 21-7-8. Great. Kawhi put up 27-8. Serge Ibaka had 15. Kyle Lowry with a super weird 5-3-11 assist stat line.
Yeah, his assist numbers have been unreal. I don't know if he's played, at least when I've been looking at the box score and stuff, he has not played a game yet where he's not in double-digit assists.
I mean, that's the Kawhi effect, I think. Yeah. Warriors grounded the Hawks 128-111. I mean, Steph had 30, KD had 28, Clay had 27.
Cool. Yay. Great. The Warriors are figuring it out.
John Collins led the Hawks with 24 and 11. Trae Young had 20. And Jeremy Lin, who, shout out to Jeremy Lin.
Man, so glad he's still in the league.
And crushing it. 14, 5, and 5. Yeah, they're still on track for 59 games.
Yeah. I mean, here's my thing is there's no reason to worry about the Warriors. They had a bad road stretch.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They went 5-7 on a road stretch.
Gonna happen.
And we're like 20 some games into the season. it's nothing.
Clay had those comments today. He was like, they reminded him about the like cookies at the LeBron party that said like RIP Warriors and RIP Clay after they beat them, after they came back from 3-1. Uh-huh. And Clay had like, I guess that's what being petty gets you. 8-1 in the or 1-8 in the finals. Huh. Idiots. I think Clay, I don't know. I'm kind of on the, I like watching him play basketball. Seems like he might be kind of a dick.
I like that. Right. I want to see more of Clay being
dickhead
a dick.
Clay.
I want to see him just have like the killer instinct, which is why I'd like to see him, you know, come to a different team.
Maybe the Knicks. That'd be pretty tight. Timberwolves took down the Rockets 103-91. Karl Anthony Towns cared about basketball tonight. He had 24 and 11. Wiggins added a hot $146 million worth of 16 points. Taj Gibson came through with 15 and 11.
Harden led the Rockets with scoring with 29, while Clint Capella was able to add 24 and 8.
They're done, right? Like, the Rockets' window is firmly closed, and
no,
they're...
I don't think so.
Really?
They're a 500 team. Here's the thing. They do have some very real issues they have to address. Number one, to me, is rebounding. Like, their rebounding numbers are not a good, even with Clint Capella. Like, he can only do so
much.
Yeah,
he's their one guy. It's reminiscent of DeAndre, kind of.
Last night, they made all of 5 second chance points to Minnesota's 15. And, like, they're not even... I mean, they're not even, I wouldn't say, like, fearsome rebounders other than, like, Cat.
Yeah, when he wants to be.
When he wants to be.
And they had 9 points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. Really, really terrible.
This seems like another team that's going to run some weird, like, we're running 6 guys tonight, boys.
I don't know. They need to add, obviously, they need to add another, like, 3-and-D guy, some sort of wing, who, and, like, no one is shooting well either, which has got to be so worrisome. I think Chris Paul went, like, 2 of 16 or 2 of 15
2
last
of 15.
Night. Really, really terrible.
Not good. I like your note in here. 20 turnovers.
Yeah,
I feel like the Rockets.
The Rockets begged the Timberwolves to win this game.
And they only scored, Timberwolves only scored 12 points off those 20.
They somehow, yeah, 12 points.
That's a bad team.
Off of 20 turnovers.
Not good. Guys, that's been us for Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Yeah, guys, thanks so much for tuning in. I'm William, the Opinion Update.
I'm Pazza Chuck Mockler. We will have a preview of the game against the Grizzlies tomorrow, what could have been Wednesdays, and just some classic Clipper culture talk.
Yeah, thanks for tuning in, guys.